Football. That's football, ladies and gentlemen. Man, what a game. Liverpool prevail 3-2 in Villarreal. I don't even know where to begin with that game. Liverpool were 100% on cruise control from the last match. And the thing about Villarreal, they were representing Spanish football. You know, like, it's a very small city, one of those types of cities where every single person is at the game. You know, 70% of the people, the population, go to the game, you know, it seems like. And they've been a fairly classy club throughout, you know, the whole connection with Yellow Submarine. That's what the team is known as, in the same way that, you know, Atletico is known as Atleti, you know, and Liverpool are known as the Reds, whatever. It's like a nickname. But of course, with that being a Beatles song, there's just always a cool connection and a cool respect between the two clubs. We don't often see them. Maybe the last time we saw them was, I think, almost a good 5 years ago now. We don't often see them. So their fans have been awesome at Anfield. They were loud. They were very, very intense. And that was how they greeted us. That was how the match went, and that was how it was after the match as well. So very passionate fans that they had. So all of these factors tied into the fact that Unai Emery, he's a good manager, you know. And I know that it's easy to laugh at him for his time at Arsenal, and that was more Arsenal fans just being. Arsenal fans are toxic, in my opinion, at times, and they really just kind of poison the image of Unai Emery. They mocked his English, you know, kind of mocked his obviously his voice and his accent, which became like a meme. And once you become a meme, it's tough to get respect in the locker room. But he's shown time and time again. I mean, four times Europa Leagues. That's more European trophies than Arsenal have in their entire history. So that's kind of letting you know he definitely is a good manager. And he set this team up to defend and counterattack. The pitch is bouncing, all yellow everywhere, you know. And it's this tiny little pitch. I think it's like, I don't know how many people were in there, but the Liverpool fans are way up top in like this double-decker situation that they could barely see the pitch through like a metal screen. It was, yeah, it felt like a totally Villarreal affair where, you know, our fans just weren't able to. And they put you up there for a reason. I don't blame them. It is what it is. We concede a goal. Well, right off the bat, Naby Keita is in for Jordan Henderson. Naby's playing some of the best football of his Liverpool career, so I get it. Scored last game. He's just been on it generally. But he has this weird thing in big games sometimes, especially away from home. He'll just kind of give you a weird performance. Like, and it was evident that this performance was, at least his first half, was reminiscent to Real Madrid away 2 years ago in the Champions League, where he got subbed at halftime. He just couldn't find a pass. And for me, I understand Jurgen wanted to reward his form, and I know he wants Naby to be a thing. Naby, Fabinho, Thiago, they call that the NFT midfield on football Twitter, and it's like a hipster's new. This is a thing that everybody wants. Personally, I think Henderson needs to start. We were missing his ability to find the ball, keep the ball, rotate the ball, protect the ball, and all that boring stuff people, you know, rival fans will come at Henderson for. We needed all of that because we just couldn't get any rhythm. It's like every time we were on the ball, we would be one pass, two pass, it goes out of bounds, or we're getting closed down. We weren't able to put together any sustained possession. And a team like Liverpool, we need that to get into the rhythm of the game a little bit. And Villarreal, credit to them, they never allowed that to happen. We were absolutely shell-shocked from minute one. And, of course, we give up a goal in about the fourth minute. And I'm watching, and I'm like, my illegal stream hasn't even started up yet. And I'm like, 1-0 down. How? And essentially, we got to talk about a lot of things, people. Gerard Moreno, I got to give him a shout-out. He's a really good baller. he only had maybe 50 minutes of running in his legs, and he's a big difference. And he was on it, getting at our back line. So shout out to him. He had to get subbed later for his hamstring. He could only play for that short amount of time, but he's a really good player. Konate gave me a bit of a weird game. You know, Gerard Moreno and his goons had Konate just a little uncomfortable, a little uncharacteristically rushed in the passing. It's just not the best half from him either. I mean, honestly, everyone, Van Dijk included in the defense, played terribly. The first goal comes in because Andy Robertson, I mean, and this team is all Tottenham, right? Lo Celso, Capoue, Serge Aurier, like Jan Foyth. They have all old Tottenham players for some reason. And Andy Robertson just lets the cross come in. And it wasn't even the first thing on his mind, but the cross comes in. They beat us to he beats the defender to the ball. He attempts to shoot the ball. Instead, it comes off as a perfect square ball to the back post. Dia, their left winger, gets in front of Van Dijk, taps it in, 1-0. And that stadium goes up. It goes off. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's the one thing that you just can't do. You really can't give up a goal within the first 25 minutes or so. Talk less of a goal at 4 minutes. You know, you're putting yourself up against it. And that's exactly what it was. The entire first half, we were not able to control anything. Again, Fabinho, Thiago, they're putting out fires where they can. But Thiago's passing was wayward, you know. And everyone was just so uncharacteristic. It just was so un-Liverpool. Like, Virgil is being too casual. / I'm seeing Virgil sprint as fast as he can. And he rarely has to do that. If you think about it, Virgil doesn't necessarily, he might sprint for like the last couple meters to close something out, but he rarely has to sprint in pursuit of someone. That's the thing. That's what he was doing so much of, trying to chase people down because he got caught wrong side, you know, someone got in behind him. You know, there's things you don't see very often. So they end up working the ball around. This time, Andy Robertson, he does the clap. You know, it's like he fakes the cross, ends up bringing the ball back over. And I think it's, Capoue, he sets up for the cross again. And Andy Robertson is nowhere near him. He's not touch tight again. The cross comes in, and it's Tottenham player to ex-Arsenal player, Coquelin. Trent Alexander-Arnold doesn't even jump on the back post for some reason. And he gets a free header. It's 2-0. And this place is going off. If you thought it was going off before, which it was, now the ting is ringing off. Like, the stadium is so loud. These fans that are always loud they can't believe it, right? This is the perfect scenario for them. Two quick goals before halftime? You couldn't have dreamed of a better start. So they thought. And I'm sitting here like, you know what? Nah. We did not come all this way, right? All this way to be undone by respect Villarreal. And they were balling. They were playing well. But I'm like, it cannot. This is not how it goes. The knives were out for your boy. I already know. You know, shout out to my man JP. You know what I'm saying? Little boy, that's my dog right there. And, you know, he's a Chelsea fan. And I be giving it to him. I tell him. Akeem as well, my other boy, the Chelsea fan. I'm like, Chelsea plays some of the least inspiring football to me, and I've been critical all year long on them. I was like, man, they're going to kill me if we lose to Villarreal, man. We cannot lose to Villa. I keep saying Villa. Villarreal. You know, I try and be as ethnic as possible with the pronunciations. Anyways, we end up bringing on Luis Diaz, who, oh, yeah, by the way, Diogo Jota starts down the middle. Mane and Salah on the left and the right. And Diogo Jota just had one of those games where he's just anonymous. Like, you see him, but you never really see him in any attacking third positions. And that's exactly what it was. So he subbed off at halftime, which, thank God we did. And you know what? I think Jurgen's just trying to be fair to him because Jota has scored 20 goals this season. he scored a lot of important goals for us this year. So Jurgen wants to give him a chance to start, just like he was trying to reward Naby. But the truth of the matter is, Luis Diaz comes on and immediately changes the game. And shout out to Raul Albiol as well in defense. I thought that this referee let him get away with about 5 or 6 fouls, but the referee rightly did not call a penalty on Alisson when he came out to charge. I got to give a quick word to Alisson. He was incredible. And that's the difference. A lot of keepers would get that wrong, but Lo Celso, who was diving every second of the game, he was on the ground half the first half, you know, spent more time on the ground than actually playing ball. I got to give him a shout out. The referee was awful. He was so inconsistent. And Raul Albiol got away with a lot of fouls. Like, they were putting it on us early. And he's a World Cup winner. He's experienced. He knows what to do. But the second half comes about. Diaz comes on the pitch. And then it's almost like he said, hey, fellas, like, this Raul Albiol's 34 years old, 35. He's on his last legs. Get at these guys. And immediately, Diaz changes the game. He ends up just working himself into such great positions. Mo Salah, who hasn't scored as much recently, gets yet another assist. He's been racking up the assists. Plays a ball into Fabinho. And again, once Diaz came on, he just stretched that back line. There was space there that wasn't there before. Like, and also, Villarreal came out and gave an all-guns-blazing performance in that first half. They started to tire, and we started to impose our will on them. And that's what happens when you have better ballers, or at least that's how it should happen. But Luis Diaz is, I don't see many attackers that make a bigger impact than him, either from the start, but especially when he's a substitute. And maybe Jurgen was gambling on that, right? Maybe Jurgen's like, look, I need to unleash this guy, because that's what he did. Fabinho gets a little bit of space after a well-worked ball from Salah. He drives a shot through. And I got to take a second for this Villarreal keeper, Rulli. He plays like Fabian Barthez, but all of the bad things that Fabian Barthez did and none of the good things. You know, he just does wild things. And like Fabinho kind of fakes like he's going to cross, 5-hole through his legs. Now Liverpool are on terms. Now Villarreal are in a lot of trouble. We end up getting another one. Of course, Luis Diaz, Trent assists, header. The run is so timed so well, he's by himself. He fooled the entire back line of Villarreal and ends up heading it down through the legs of Rulli. The next goal comes about where Rulli charges out 20, 30, 40 yards out of his box, only to missed the ball from Sadio Mane. Sadio Mane rounds him and Juan Foyth, who I never liked at Tottenham. Shout out to all the Tottenham players who lost again. It's the history of the Tottenham. You know, if you know what that reference means, you get it. But he ends up rounding Juan Foyth, sliding it into an empty net, and then everybody could relax a little bit. But I'll admit, credit to Villarreal. They had a great game plan. Unai Emery is a good manager. He is able to nullify us and then go up 2-0. That first half had me nervous. I wasn't feeling good. He definitely gained respect for his club, and that's an important thing to do on big competitions. At the end of the day, Villarreal's fans were not expecting them to win this competition. But to get to a Champions League semifinal, ask Arsenal the last time I did that. Ask Tottenham the last time that they did that. Right, there's a lot of clubs I could talk about that haven't even been there, but I want to talk about my own. This is our 10th Champions League final. You know, I talk to my Chelsea buddy Akeem. I bring him up a lot because we talk about football weekly. Him and Kennedy, my man who's a Manchester City fan. And I'm like, the club, say what you want about us. Akeem likes to point to the time period where Liverpool weren't winning. Like, and I said, yeah, you're right, man. But at the end of the day, we were still a huge club, even when we weren't winning. But we've won so much in the past, and we're about to win so much now. You know, I'll take that over a 10-year period that's now erased because, you know, the oil money has dried up. You know what I'm saying? That's the difference, right? This is our 10th Champions League final. And I'm proud of that. You know, I'm proud of Jurgen signing a new deal. I'm proud of the new transfers are linked with Fabio Cavarlio from Fulham. baller, scored in the playoff final to promote Fulham. Shout out to Alexander Mitrovic, I think 42 goals. So shout out to Fulham. True London club right there, London's original club. See, that's football knowledge I'm giving y'all. But absolutely proud of the boys. And today is interesting, you know, Manchester City, Madrid. I want Madrid just because I'm sick of playing Manchester City for important things. And I also don't even think that they deserve to be in the final. I don't, you know, they don't deserve a Champions League, man. We cannot let Manchester City get a Champions League. That's like letting like the most evil thing get their hands on like the plutonium or like the secret mineral that they can make into a weapon of mass destruction. Because that's gonna feel like, yeah, now we have a Champions League. Now we're a real club. Yada 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 yada. You know how many leaders. This is how I feel. But I say that because I endured the years of Liverpool being so bad and having no Premier League medals. And we got the jokes. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, huh? Listen, man, this is what it is. This is football heritage, okay? If Jurgen Klopp can bring the Champions League home again... Well, wait a minute, you know, that's matching every single manager's European legacy. Alex Ferguson has two Champions Leagues, I believe. I could be wrong. But now we got to talk about him as one of the greatest of all time. And that's what I believe we're doing. Just a great also to see Harvey Elliott jumping on, celebrating the substitutes, Taki Minamino jumping on when Fabinho scored, Simicast jumps into Fabinho, and it's like, these guys aren't playing, but there's no ego, there's no bitterness. We're all a part of this, and that's what makes Liverpool a special club to me. Very, very happy, you know, because damn it, it wasn't look. I ain't gonna lie, they had us in the first half, essentially was the mood of Liverpool and everybody, but they snapped out of it. Obviously, Hendo starts every big game. I think that's the moral of the story here. But we march on. We march to the final because that's what we do. Let's bring home number 7, up the Reds. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. I'm out.